Topics discussed here tonight are general in nature, and you should seek personal advice before acting on any of this information. And now, on 2GB 873, The Bottom Line. Thanks to IT Financial Services, high-quality financial planning. Visit itfs.com.au.
Ian and Kylie Tonkinson are from IT Financial Services. They're both authorised representatives of Apogee FP. I'll get it right one time and then I'll record it and play it again. And good to see you, Kylie, and see you again, Ian. You haven't been in for a while.
No, good to be here.
So it's the family team.
Indeed.
This morning.
The A-team, yep.
And here we are, and everybody's wondering, will there be any shares left by the end of the week? I'm getting American experts being referred to me, you know, via email saying this bloke said, yeah, this is the crash we told you about. But at the moment, there's more fear than greed. At the moment.
At the moment. Mm. It's not the first time, and it won't be the last time all this happens, of course. But we talked about this, I think, last time I was here. I think we mentioned the fact that the Greek economy was smaller than Queensland, and if there was a was something nasty in the wings, it was going to be China. Yeah. And, of course, that is coming or becoming increasingly more – it's causing fractious world markets, there's no doubt. The fact that they devalued 2 weeks ago and then they devalued again the next day and so on, they're the sort of things that make people very, very nervous in the investment area. But as we go through the evening, I hope whoever's listening now keeps listening, because I think we can preach some good sense to people tonight at a time when people are likely to make fairly significant errors, I think, in the way they look at their portfolios.
So you're saying don't panic?
Absolutely. Yep.
Ride out the storm.
I don't even know if it's going to be much of a storm, to be quite honest.
Can I ask first up, I noticed the banks, or in my case, I'm looking particularly at CBA and NAB.
Yes.
They're going down because people are turning them into money because they need money for something else, or because they've lost confidence in the banks, or both. What do you think it is?
What you've got to remember is for every shareholder like you or Carly or myself, there are institutions out there who invest in all these shares. It's not just... It's not little guys like us that are causing the problems.
Right.
The perception about banks at the moment is that they borrow overseas for the money that they lend to us at such low rates at the moment, and overseas borrowing costs have gone up, and so that means that technically profitability should not be.
Is that to do with the value of our dollar?
It's one of the major factors. Oh. Yeah, but. So that's the main reason the institutions, I think, are looking at banks and saying they're not too exciting at the moment. Having said that, we went through the global financial crisis and bank dividends didn't drop at all, even though bank shares dropped massively during 2009, 2010. And I would caution people against selling out of those sorts of assets. And remember, most people didn't buy at the prices that bank shares were last month or the month before. Commonwealth Bank, I think, in the last month has dropped 8% or something, right? Mm-hmm. But the most people didn't buy them last month. You know, people have bought those shares over a period of time, and the actual dividends, people should look at the dividends they're getting compared
fully
to
franked.
What they paid. Yes, my word, they're fully franked. Mm-hmm. And they should be looking at the dividend they're getting on what they paid for the shares. Now, for example, Commonwealth have dropped back into the 70s at the moment, but the dividend's still holding up.
They're over 90 in April.
Yeah. Mm. But they were 40-odd in the global financial crisis in 2009.
Right.
You know, and so most of our listeners would have bought their bank shares when the prices were far lower than they got to in April. And therefore, those dividends are still very, very attractive compared to what they've paid in the first place.
Mm.
Yeah. So I don't see it as a time when you'd be changing the direction of your portfolio, to be quite honest.
I must ask the question about the banks borrowing overseas. The total amount of money goes up each year, the money supply, whatever M2, whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So not all the money that I borrow from the bank has come from existing piles of money. Someone's writing a check in the hope that I can pay them back.
Well, one would hope you can.
Someone's creating it, in other words. We know it's not the government.
No, but as I said, a lot of that money they borrow overseas to lend here. Because remember, you know, you're looking at places like Japan, the United States have had interest rates around the zero mark for the last few years. So one of the dangers there would be not only the drop in the value of our dollar, but the fact that we're looking at likely interest rate rises in the United States, which will make money even more expensive than it is now. And by the way, that will also increase the value of the US dollar and decrease the value of our dollar comparatively.
Which will make things good for our exporters.
Yes, but it won't make good for the banks and the money they borrow overseas. So that will impact on profitability.
And you can't say to the bank, look, I'd like some Japanese money converted into Aussie dollars or some French franc. Don't give me the American money. It's too expensive. Well, you can't tell them that, can you?
You can buy the money, though.
Wow. 131873 is our number. If you have any questions about matters to do with finance, investments, pensions, superannuation. Now, annual super statements should have been received by now. How do you read your statement?
Well, there's a number of things that you should look at with your statement. Nowadays, you get a whole lot of information. So most people would be receiving a statement that's several pages long. It can be full of a lot of marketing information, but there's also key information people should be looking at. If you're not looking at your super all the time, if you're not really that engaged with your super, one thing you should do is look at your balance and compare it to what it was this time last year. So at least compare your balances each year. So you're looking for not only how the fund has performed, but have your super contributions been paid in, what investments you're actually inside the fund. So if your performance has been quite poor over the year, have a look further to what your investments are. That will give you a clue as to why they've performed the way they have. So if you were quite heavily in Australian shares, you'd find your performance fairly flat over the year. International shares have done a little bit better. If you're sitting there in cash, you've probably just sort of plodded along, paying the fees, not covering tax, etc. So really look at the information that's there to work out why the fund has done what it's done.
If you don't like it, what can you do about it?
Look, you can change the mix of your fund. Mm-hmm. The sad part with this is that most of the people out there listening probably don't have a clue what their superannuation funds are invested in.
I believe it.
Because just people don't take any notice of it. So you quite often find that people are invested in the wrong sorts of assets based on their ages and so on. Remember today, for the younger generation at least, or even for the middle-aged generation, you can't get your money back out till you're 60. And I would believe that over the next few years that'll change to 65 as well. Mm. So for a lot of younger investors, they're a long, long way from seeing the money. So therefore, they should be taking a fairly aggressive sort of a stance. So when they're looking at the statement, as Carly said, the very worst they should be looking at on that statement is for a balanced fund, and they really should be looking at growth funds, both Australian and overseas growth
funds. Growth funds. I don't know what a growth fund is. Is there an opposite to a growth fund? Like, invest in my shrinking fund, please. What's the opposite?
Depends whether you've got a medium or a long-term point of view. Oh, dear, Brian, you're a worry. The growth funds simply refer to the fact that you're investing into the share market mainly, and you're looking at shares that have that have growth assets, right? If you look at a share as like a pie, if we take it, it's like a pie. You can invest in two ways into that pie, whether it's property
or
shares.
This is like a pie chart pie. You're going to take slices out.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. And so in some shares, the majority of that pie is going to be invested in growth, and there'll be very, very few dividends coming back to you. In fact, any profits the company's making.
I see. It's like the manager says, we're going to build more factories. Yes, we will spend some of this money rather than give it to the shareholders. We're
exactly
going to build
right.
another factory.
Yeah, they grow the wealth of the company.
That's where the growing is. Got it.
Yeah. Whereas other investors, particularly those close to retirement, you mentioned bank shares yourself earlier, ideal sorts of investment really historically for people around the retirement age because they have good dividends as well as reasonable growth. So the pie in that case is split much more between some growth and some returns to you. So if you're a 30-year-old in a super fund, it's really irrelevant to you whether the thing's paying a 6% or 7% dividend.
Yeah.
What is relevant to you is the growth you're going to get in that share over a period of time. So for younger people, growth assets tend to be better, and the closer you get to retirement, probably you start to have a mix between growth and more balanced investments and more cash.
What is the alternative to growth? Balanced. I thought balanced is what you had after you've made the decision.
No, not necessarily. You're either investing for growth or you're investing for income.
That's the opposite, right?
So you're either going to be income-oriented or you're going to be growth-oriented.
You're looking at the capital gain.
If you're on the growth side.
Right. So some shares give you a nice, relatively nice dividend, maybe fully franked, don't have to pay tax.
Yep.
And you're not really hung up on what the value is going to be. You just stay with them for the dividend.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. And others are in there speculating, perhaps thinking, oh, I can double my money on this one.
Well, some people actually have to be very aggressive investors in the hope that they can build a nest egg for when they retire.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much easier to predict the past. Like back Parramatta against Manly. I was going to back Parramatta. I just never got down to the TAB.
7-1.
8-1.
Yeah, 8-1.
8-1. It's a good bet. They'll only win by 2, I predict, but they'll beat Manly. But this is too late.
You weren't far wrong.
I'm sorry. It's too late. Well, I would have said this yesterday, but I wasn't on air yesterday. See, 131873 is our number. 131873. Hello, Jerry.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Yes, my question is that my wife and I have about $500,000 in our term deposit, and we're not getting too much a good return back on it, and we're looking at maybe trying to buy some investment properties interstate outside of Sydney. We're looking at, say, the LA market or Brisbane market or Hobart market. What do you think is probably best?
I'm not really a fan, Jerry, and I've had the best part of 30 years' experience in this business, and I've seen many, many a tear from people who've invested in real estate interstate.
Yes.
One of the reasons is that Sydney is almost unique in that we're completely bound on four sides. We've got an ocean one side, we've got a horrendous mountain range on the other end, and we've got national parks north and south. So at the end of the day, the only place for Sydney to go is up, which means real estate, you know, prices over time will continue to grow. On the other hand, you go to places like Brisbane, the Gold Coast and so on, and the problems you face there is that they just keep spreading. There's so much land compared to population in those areas that you don't tend to get much growth. The other sad story we tend to hear is people who buy into places and they get 2 or 3 years rent guarantees, that sort of stuff. When you get to the other end of that 3 years rent guarantee, you're usually in a whole heap of bother. So unless you've got a specific property in mind in a place where you really know that market, I'd be very reluctant to see you do that.
Okay.
How old are you, Jerry?
Well, my wife and I, we're just in our early 40s, so we just, so all we have, we own our own property at the moment, but we have about $500,000 locked up in a term deposit, but that's not generating much return on it at the moment.
Are you on pretty substantial incomes?
My wife's taking some time off at the moment.
That's right.
Sort of at the one who's making the money.
I don't want you to say too much on air. When Brian gives out the number later, you might like to talk to us tomorrow privately. Because there's a couple of questions I'd like to ask you on your income level and so on that would help me give you a bit better advice, I think.
Yep.
But it may be, you know, you'd look at things like negatively gearing in the medium term because you're young enough to then really attack superannuation when you're, say, in your mid-50s.
Right.
When you've had time to go through a property cycle. But you'd be a very brave man at the moment, I think, to invest into the Sydney market in property.
Yeah, that's what we've bought, and that's what I've got all of. We'll look into other markets, like, because one of the things we're sort of interested is with a lot of the hype going on, what's going to happen possibly in South Australia with the with those naval projects that the government's announced, whether that's a good idea, maybe putting some money in, maybe buying some property out in say Adelaide Way.
I think you face that problem I was just talking about. I think there's probably too much space. You know, it's too easy to grow property without necessarily increasing the value of it.
Okay, right. I sort of understand what you're saying, Sydney's sort of like hampered with its geography.
Yeah, we see that, Jerry, mainly with people who might get transferred interstate in their job and they sell out of the Sydney market and buy a property where they go.
Yeah.
Then eventually they get transferred back to Sydney and they're in a whole heap of bother trying to get back into the market.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd... you know, it's a matter I'd be more tempted to say keep your powder dry. I wouldn't be tying all the money up in superannuation at this stage. If you were 55, I would have told you to.
Yep.
But I'd be keeping the powder dry for a while. The residential property market in Sydney in 89, 90 dropped about 30% in value, far, far greater than the crash of 87
right.
in the stock market. So, you know, you might only be getting your 3 or 4% on your term deposits, but and if you're keen to get into that property market, I'd be tending to sit on my hands for a while and wait for a correction.
Hey, what do you think? When do you think this correction is going to happen?
I wish I could tell you the answer to that. I really can't. But we know that property moves. It'll happen when interest rates start to go back up.
So what you're saying, the best advice is hang on.
My word. Yep.
And what happens, and then jump into the thinning market.
Yeah, as soon as you see interest rates go up 1% or 2%, don't say, oh, we're getting a good return on our term deposits now. Mm. That's when you want to look at the property market.
In Sydney.
My word.
Yeah. Forget about the other states.
Yeah, look, you're on Sydney, you're on a sure thing, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, and sometimes you can be too hasty just, you know, because you want to get a better return now on the money. Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, with your term deposits, you're covering inflation. So at least you're treading water and you're going to have that opportunity for sure over the next few years.
Yeah, we just want to basically have ourselves, we're looking for our retirement, so we just want to make sure we have like something in the future.
Yep.
But no, that's good. No, I mean, it's interesting what you're saying, yeah. Because so, we did think we're at the most just too overinflated here in Sydney.
Oh, my word, yeah.
Yeah, that's why we started looking at maybe elsewhere.
No, I think you're better off to wait because Sydney will give you your opportunities in due course.
Okay.
Okay, good to talk to you, Jerry.
Thanks for your help.
Thanks, Jerry. Right. 11:23. What about Cooper Pedy? We haven't heard much about Cooper Pedy for at least a year. We're supposed to have energy, they've discovered there, equal to Saudi Arabia in the good old days.
Is that right?
That's a big shot in the arm for South Australia when it's exploited.
If
so, presumably it'll be like WA in the early days of Lang Hancock.
All right.
People will be building towns out there for the miners.
Yep, that's
Real estate will be worth a lot.
Yeah, that's something we saw happen in recent years in Queensland,
mm-hmm.
and the real estate's not worth a lot in those places.
No, it falls back.
Yeah, it never really even took off in mm-hmm. some of those mining towns, you know, in the Gladstone area, that sort of thing, where all these things were happening. As I said, the danger you face is that there's just too much damn space.
Yeah.
Just build another one over there. Whereas in Sydney, what do? You know, if we have an influx of people, where are they going to live?
That's why they say buy land, they're not making any more of it.
Yeah, exactly.
For Sydney, anyway.
That's a very, very good way of putting it. Couldn't put it better.
We'll be back in a moment. 131873 is our number. If you have any questions about your investments or lack of investments or planning for the future, because it doesn't really help to plan for the past.
The Ray Hadley Morning Show.
Australia's longest-serving treasurer, Peter Costello. Same-sex marriage. Has Tony Abbott done the right thing?
I think so. We've had plenty of votes in the Parliament over this.
Gillard was against it. She said marriage was for a man and a woman.
I really sort of resent the idea now that, oh, if you're against same-sex marriage, you must be a homophobe or a bigot.
I mean, that was their view.
It was only 11 years ago.
I've got a feeling it's not going to be settled until the public votes.
The Ray Hadley Morning Show. 9 till noon, Monday to Saturday on 2 GB 873. Frank Sinatra, the 100th anniversary concert, direct from the USA.
Blue skies.
Starring the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, the band that made Sinatra a star.
I'll be seeing you.
Join us for the ultimate concert event of the year.
Familiar place.
State Theatre, Sydney, Saturday, September 12, 7:30 p.m. Book at Ticketmaster on 136100.
You're listening to Brian Wilshire on 2GB 873.
The bottom line with Ian and Carly Tonkinson here in the studio during business hours. They're based in the CBD, Goldfields House, down at Circular Quay, and can be contacted during business hours on Sydney 92587500, 92587500, or any time at all. You can go to their website, find out more about them. itfs.com.au. That stands for IT Financial Services. itfs.com.au. Now, they can help you when you want to turn your financial dreams into reality. First step is getting financial knowledge. They will work with you, taking you through the steps that you need to get where you want to go. Whether you want to invest, consolidate your debt, or manage your own super, IT Financial Services are there to help you. Their advisors know all the ins and outs, and they've been able to help thousands of people like you meet their financial goals. So make a note of their number, 9258-7500, or go to the website itfs.com.au. Or for some free advice right now, they are as far away as your phone on 131873, our open line number, 131873.
At Pain Away, we're about the pain. The whole pain, nothing but the pain. Everyday Aussies to elite professional athletes are using easy-to-apply Pain Away arthritis and sports creams and sprays. At Pain Away, we believe so much in all our pain relief products that we offer a 100% money-back guarantee on all products purchased. So if you suffer joint or muscular pain, try Pain Away.
Pain Away products are available in all leading pharmacies across Australia. Use only as directed. Always read the label. If pain persists, see your healthcare professional.
If you're a tradie or have a small business and need to hire
a mini excavator
or a
portaloo,
you need to know that it'll be
ready to go
or that it can be delivered
at 7 a.m.
or
I need it right now
with
the right safety gear and stuff.
It doesn't matter if it's for
digging a pit
or
It's a pretty big job site
for a few days or
at least a couple of months.
You can count on Coates Hire to make it happen. Coates Hire, 13 15 52. Let's make it happen.
And Australia has won the fifth test by an innings and 46 runs.
Sydney Adventist Hospital, fondly known as the SAN, has cared for the community since 1903 and now has brand new state-of-the-art facilities. New wards, leading-edge operating theatres, an innovative integrated cancer centre and Sydney's newest private maternity unit with breathtaking views. All located in the SAN's beautiful bushland setting with our expert specialists and staff. Visit sah.org.au, your new SAN, where care is just as important as treatment.
Sydney's number one nighttime host, Brian Wilshire, on 2GB 873.
The topics discussed here tonight are general in nature, and you should seek personal advice before acting on any of this information.
And now, on 2GB 873, The Bottom Line. Thanks to IT Financial Services, high-quality financial planning. Visit itfs.com.au.
29 past 12 on a Monday morning, 16 degrees in the city at present, 4 above average. And it's going to be mild with rain today, a top of 18 degrees in the city and 16 in the west. But at least it won't be too cold overnight. Patchy fog in the west early this morning and cooler, a little bit cooler tomorrow, 17 the maximum, windy with rain. Mild with a shower or two on Wednesday, warmer with a shower or two on Thursday, mild to warm with a shower or two on Friday, mild to warm with the possibility of rain on Saturday. 131873 is our number. Good morning, Valma.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. I have about $600,000 to invest. I'm 77. I would like an income from it, and I just wonder what you would suggest.
Excuse me. Valma, there's probably a couple of different things you can do. Obviously, at 77, we can't put the money through superannuation.
No.
So
my husband has died, so you know, right. Just me now.
Okay. There are a number of different ways you can do it. In the next couple of minutes, we're going to talk a little bit about risk and investment,
yes.
Which you might like to listen to again, yes. After we finish talking. But basically, I'd suggest there are two aspects. First of all, by the time you're 77, I guess you're starting to get a little bit set in your ways.
Yes.
So if I told you to go out and put the whole $600,000 in international shares or something, you'd have a heart attack.
Well, I would.
Yeah, of course you would.
I've got quite a few shares in banks at the moment.
Right. Don't get rid of them, whatever you do,
no,
right?
No,
Don't be panicked by the fact that prices are down at the moment or anything like that.
As a matter of fact, I've got some correspondence from the Commonwealth Bank, and I think it's the ANZ. That they're trying to get money.
Yep.
Yeah.
The banks, all of the major banks are raising funds at the moment.
That's right.
There's some new capital requirements coming in. Well, they need to have their funds raised by the 30th of June next year. So all of the big four banks have been raising money. It's not really enough time for them to do that through dividend reinvestment, so they're choosing to issue new shares.
Yes.
The Commonwealth Bank have obviously announced their share issue.
That's right.
I think it's $71.50 per share.
That's quite true.
Which looked pretty good a week or so ago, but is looking less attractive
now.
Well,
yes, I saw on the radio, TV the other night, shares have dropped a bit.
They have indeed.
Commonwealth Bank.
Yeah, no, all the banks have.
Have they?
But that's a short-term sort of a situation. Yeah. But I wouldn't be too worried about that. You'll get we'll give out the number again later. Before I could fully answer your question, I'd like to know a couple of other things.
Yes.
All right. For example, about your shares and how many there are and so on.
Well, I've got about over 1,000 in the Commonwealth Bank. And
yep.
I've got them in all banks.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
Diversification's always good.
Yes.
And there are probably a couple of other shares we'd look at with you, which also pay very high dividends,
yes,
but would give you some diversification away from just the banks.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Right? And we can structure that in such a way for you that you can tell us how much income you want to get each month, and we can put it together for you in such a way that you'll get your amount of income every month into your bank account.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's a very simple way to do things. So when we give out the number again later,
right,
jot it down and give Carly and myself a ring tomorrow, and
right,
we'll tell you a little bit more then. Is that okay?
It's quite okay. Thank you. But, I've had this money in the bank since January, and I just don't know what to do with it.
Yeah. I'd be keeping some of it there, but there are some other things we can do to make sure you get higher dividends or higher returns.
Right.
Okay.
One of the girls from the Commonwealth Bank said, it's good to buy some shares now because it's low. Is that right?
It'll probably be very right in the next few weeks. I think while this Chinese situation is going on, I think we're going to see the market being very volatile.
Yes.
So I think there are going to be some good opportunities. So what you can do there is, if you've got an advisor or someone that you work with, you go through that with the advisor and say, right, if Commonwealth gets down to X dollars, then we're going to buy this many.
Oh, I see.
And another way you can do it just as well is you might say, right, we're going to eventually put half that 600,000 into good quality blue chip shares, right?
Yes.
But we won't put the 300,000 in now. What we'll do is, over the next 12 months, we'll put 25,000 a month in.
Yeah.
Okay. Then if the market keeps going down, you're going to keep buying the shares at cheaper and cheaper prices.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay. So that's a good way of covering your bases, if I could put it that way.
I hadn't really thought about shares going down and buying them when they're down. And
That's a good way to look at it.
Well, that's what the girl from the Commonwealth Bank said. But,
yep.
But I have to get some income from this money.
Yeah, we'll talk to you about that when you give us a call, Velma, but that's very easy to organise.
All right. Thank you very
much.
All right.
All right, then. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Velma. It's 25 to 1 on 2GB, and there's room for you on the switchboard right now if you have any questions about your investments, about financial planning, superannuation, pensions, all that sort of thing, and real estate too. 131-873.
Gone are the days when you could only hear us on the old-fashioned wireless. Get perfect reception of your favourite radio station with the 2GB smartphone app, available from 2GB.com. No matter what you're doing or where you are, with the free 2GB smartphone app, you'll be up to date with news, current affairs, interviews and opinions. Find out what's happening right now in your city and around the world. Download it from 2GB.com. Available for both iPhone and Android.
Hi, Big Man here. Snoring and sleep apnea cause serious family and health problems. The experts at the George Street Specialist Centre treat snoring with Sleep Tight. Now, it's a series of 3 non-surgical laser treatments that significantly reduce snoring noise and symptoms of sleep apnea. It's internationally recognised with 2 years of their own ongoing Australian-based research. Book now and sleep better with Sleep Tight. Visit their website, quitsnoring.com.au. That's quitsnoring.com.au.
Garage Tech and the St. George and Sutherland Shire Home Show are giving away a $3,000 garage makeover for one lucky dad. Featuring a 6 by 2.4-metre wall of storage panel, along with the most popular accessories and installation. Listen to the Chris Smith Afternoon Show this week and enter online at the 2GB Competitions page for your chance to win this ultimate Father's Day gift. Don't miss the St. George and Sutherland Shire Home Show, putting the home show back into the Shire. This weekend at Sutherland Basketball Stadium.
Iron Ore Jewellery.
You haven't worn it in years, so why not get cash for it? Precious Metal Exchange is the most established and trusted gold buyer and bullion dealer in Sydney, and they pay cash for your gold or silver jewellery, even dental gold, paying top market prices. Talk to Marnie, Kay, John, or their personal home service will go to you. Precious Metal Exchange. Street level, Piccadilly Centre, Castlereagh Street, Sydney. Call up 9267 0007 or preciousmetalexchange.com.au.
The topics discussed here tonight are general in nature and you should seek personal advice before acting on any of this information.
And now on 2GB 873, The Bottom Line. Thanks to IT Financial Services, high quality financial planning. Visit itfs.com.au.
And if you have any questions right now, call us. The lines are open. 131873 is the number.
A cricket score update, thanks to Blackwoods, keeping Australian workplaces safe and supplied. Shop online at blackwoods.com.au. And Isuzu D-Max, wherever you go, whatever you do, go your own way.
Well, it's all over for another year. Australia has won the dead rubber ashes test. That sounds disgusting, doesn't it? We've won the fifth ashes test with a dominant victory in the dead rubber at the Oval. England were bowled out for 286, giving Australia victory by an innings and 46 runs. England has won the series 3-2. So there you are. It's all over for another year. Is this an annual event?
2 years.
Oh, 2 years! Mm. They give them 2 years to recover.
Yes. Well, it keeps us anticipating more, I think, as well. As
they, I see if they get surgery on the hamstrings and the purse strings and everything.
The purse strings.
Right. 131873 is our number. The number, by the way, for IT Financial Services during business hours is 9258-7500. 9258-7500. That's a Sydney number. And you're going to talk about managing investment risk.
Yes,
Carly. Yeah, so particularly where we see markets like this at the time, as Ian said earlier, a really common mistake is for people to panic and start selling their shares. When, I mean, we've all heard the old, you know, buy low, sell high adage. Looking to sell out of shares at the moment would certainly be selling low. So one of the ways that people can manage their risk is what we would call dollar cost averaging. So what Ian was talking about before with Valma, who called in, was putting your money into the share market over a longer period of time. Now, that just reduces the risk of putting your money in one day and immediately seeing a loss the next. Most of the share markets globally went down around about 3% on Friday. So 3% in one day is obviously quite a big loss. If you put your money into the market slowly, you just reduce that risk of losing it all. The other important thing is to make sure you stay on track with what you're trying to do. Nobody can time the market, so don't try and pick the worst day. Just stick with your plan and try and remove the emotion from it. So if you are dollar cost averaging, where the markets are particularly low, as we'll see over the coming weeks, don't sit on the sidelines hoping that things will get better. It's these sort of weeks that are precisely the reason for the strategy, and it will do the best for you in the long term.
What about the Commonwealth Bank offering its shareholders the chance to buy a few more shares for about $72 each when the price is getting down towards 72?
Yeah, as I said, it looked a lot better a couple of weeks ago, the price. So I think it's $71.50. Look, we still think Commonwealth Bank is a good share to hold. If you're not holding too many of them and you've got the funds available, then perhaps look at that. I know when Commonwealth made the announcement, a lot of the other banks' prices went down fairly quickly in response to people trying to raise cash from the other banks to move over to Commonwealth. The thing to keep in mind in these types of issues as well is you're not just buying the share for $71.50, that you're actually being issued rights which will have a tradable value. So
what does that mean?
So for every share that you, well, for every 23 shares that you hold, you'll be given one Commonwealth Bank right, and that right is your right to buy an additional share for $71.50.
Oh, right, yes.
But that right by itself actually has a value as well. You could actually sell your right.
Oh, really? I'm glad I asked this question.
So
that's for every 23 shares equals one right.
Yep.
That's either the right,
either you can
choose that right to buy another share for $71.50.
Yep.
Or you can put it on the market. You tell your stockbroker, I've got a few of these rights.
Well, you don't even have to do that. Right. So you've got three options. One option is exercise your right and pay an extra $71.50 for the share.
Mm-hmm.
Option two is to sell the right on market, and they will be trading on market, I think, from Monday. So you can actually sell that right to buy a share.
We have no idea what they're likely to be.
You're looking fairly low. I'd say around about the $2 to $3 mark is probably what they're going to be. If you do nothing, so if you've received your letter from the Commonwealth Bank and you think, oh, I don't want to buy more shares, whatever it may be, you'll automatically receive the cash value that Commonwealth Bank will then on-sell your right for. So you don't actually have to do anything.
I don't have to do anything. If I tell them, look, I'm not going to buy any extra shares, do they automatically – is it fully franked? Capital gain, isn't it?
The actual right?
Yes.
It won't be a capital gain. It will be income, I believe. Do you know? Okay. So we'd need to look into that. But you'll receive the actual dollar value, so you don't need to tell them you're not taking it up. If you don't...
If I don't do anything, I'll get a check.
That's right. Yep.
How easy is that?
The reason people take up the shares is because technically your shareholding would be diluted. So the number of shares on issue today owning the bank, there are going to be more shares tomorrow owning the bank. So
the values might go down a bit to balance it out.
Not really. I mean, we'd expect them to pick back up again with the market, but technically speaking, you know, buying more shares would maintain your share of your ownership in the bank.
Looking at what has happened in the past, and I don't suggest that you have all this in your mind because you'd have to look it up, but is there a rule of thumb? If they're offering you over $6 under current market value, then it's a good idea to buy a few. But if it's only a few dollars, then you're taking a risk.
Well, we would say if it's under market value and it's a good quality share that we'd be happy holding anyway, it's worthwhile taking up in the fact that if you take it up, you could then on-sell it at a profit fairly quickly anyway.
Oh, straight away, yes. Yeah.
The reason why you wouldn't do that with all shares is because if it's not a share that you want to hold, that selling for a profit might not always happen. So let's say that the Commonwealth Bank rights issue all goes through on a day when global markets have crashed overnight. You can't immediately sell that share at a profit if the whole market is down. So you don't want to be too speculative on it. But if it looked good quality share like Commonwealth, even if you're not making an immediate profit on the rights issue, it's a share that you're quite comfortable holding longer term to wait for it to recover anyway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm glad I asked. I didn't realise it could be so easy. Make no decision and you get some money, and we don't know what it's going to be worth, do we?
The total package, so the rights issue?
If you have 23 shares, you're going to get one right. We
yes,
don't know
right.
what the cash equivalent is.
No, but you're probably looking around about the $2 to $3 mark, so it won't be a lot. But
it's almost what you'd make if you got it and then quickly sold it the next day.
Strictly speaking, what it should be worth is the $71.50 plus whatever the difference is between the market value.
Oh, I see.
But because of the way the markets will move, there'll be institutions trying to get more rights so they can acquire more shares. It won't move.
And if everybody says no, then the guys sitting around the boardroom have just voted to hand out millions of dollars for nothing to the shareholders.
Not really.
How is this in their interest?
Well, they're pricing
to make people want to buy shares in the future for next time this happens.
They're pricing it at a point where they're counting on people not saying no. That's how the price is set. So you're going to have people taking up the shares. The institutions will certainly be taking up shares because, as I said, you don't want to lose your ownership in the bank. You don't want that to go down. The result of the rights issue, if you're not taking it up, is that you're actually going to dilute your shareholding.
Mm-hmm.
So they're set it at a price where the market will will happen.
Diluting shareholding is not likely to bring dividends down, just the market value.
This whole rights issue, so what the banks are doing at the moment, they're saying could bring dividends down because the banks now have to hold more capital. So technically, that's less money that they can lend out, make a profit on. Therefore, profits will come down, less money to pay on to shareholders. In the real world, what will happen is the banks will put up their fees. They'll drive more income. You would say quite a lot of pressure on the banks to maintain dividends. It would be a brave bank to be the first one to start dropping them significantly. So you'll see them wanting to keep those dividends up, and the way they'll do that is to increase fees, increase borrowing costs to you and I.
And it's in their interest to keep the share price high, keep shares popular, because there might be another issue at some stage and they want people to say, oh, that bank is issuing shares, better buy some. That's how they make some money, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's how they raise capital rather than make money.
Oh.
So it's all about the bank.
There's a difference.
Oh, yeah.
This but is then very again, complex
one should,
stuff.
One should lead to the other as well.
And so if I were a banker, I'd just write a check. It's a fractional reserve. I've got to keep a certain amount in the bank, but I can write a check for stuff I don't have. As long as the other banks will honour my checks and I don't go over the top.
Yeah, well,
so I have to be very careful. But this is, most people don't know where money comes from. Yeah. I had the head economist of the State Bank on the program about 30 years ago and I asked him where money came from. And he talked about coal and wheat, which has got nothing to do with it at all. I wanted to know where the money, each year there's more money. So who is putting the money into the kitty? He didn't know. He was a nice chap. I think he had a breakdown after that. I should have asked him off here.
Oh, dear. Just leading on from the comments on risk, if I had a little soapbox here, I'd jump up on it right this moment.
Yes.
I really worry about people who do react to, say, a downturn in the market like we're having at the moment by selling.
Don't panic, you're saying.
There was a wonderful article in yesterday's Daily Telegraph where someone pointed out that if you had gone to cash 5 years ago after the global financial crisis or whatever and stayed in cash for the last 5 years and you had a $200,000 superannuation fund, where would you be now compared to if you'd even put 40 or 50% of your money into the market and kept the other 50% in cash? And the difference was that you would have had an extra $75,000 over the last 5 years in your super fund by having half and half opposed to all the money being in cash over that period of time. And the article.
So those that panicked have lost money.
Oh, huge amounts.
Yeah.
Look, go back to the 87 stock market crash when everyone got out and interest rates were 17-18%. And so many people took the money out of superannuation and so on and just put it in term deposits. And by 1995, those interest rates were 8%, not 17 or 18%. And that caused enormous hardship for so many people that were counting on the 17 or 18% that they'd been getting. Whereas the people who kept a balanced approach or at least had some good quality shares in the portfolio over that five-year period had the growth in those shares to keep them going as well.
How do we define hardship? Because there are some people who don't have money in super. They've been perhaps self-employed. They're busking, who knows, and when they retire, they've got the pension and nothing else. Is this where we calibrate the meter for hardship? Or is it just loss? Like, I could have been really wealthy and now I'm only half as wealthy, therefore this is hardship.
The hardship thing, Brian, comes up for a different reason usually. In this day and age, people have got superannuation whether they want it or not because of the legislation with the 9.5% or whatever. Where this comes into question, the hardship rule, is what happens to someone who has fallen on bad times. They've got 100, 200,000 sitting in a super fund, but they're in desperate straits today. And there are rules that apply to hardship for those people. And if they pass the test, they then can access some of their superannuation to help them get out of trouble. Having said that, for people out there listening, hardship really means hardship. It's virtually like living in the back of your Ford Falcon with three kids for 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Now, for example, you've got to have been on unemployment benefits for X amount of time, and you've got to be able to quite clearly quantify the problems you've got and so on. Mm. And even then, you can't access all of your superannuation. You can only access a portion. So that's where hardship comes in more, more, I think, than...
Have the rules tightened in the past 20 years?
Absolutely, diabolically tightened on that. Yeah, because people could get the money out quite easily. The same as people who were moving overseas could grab their super.
Oh, yeah.
So the about the only test they had in the good or bad old days, depending on your point of view, is you had to buy a one-way ticket.
When people move either from Australia to New Zealand or the other way around, do they get much the same benefits? It's all treated as one, is it?
No, both countries have got their own rules with superannuation and so on. But I'll give you a better example would be, say, the United Kingdom, which is a totally different superannuation scheme to ours. Because
you get
something
according to what you put in. Yeah,
yeah, exactly right. But it's like, you know, contributing to a retirement pension.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happens there is, say, that person moves out to Australia on a permanent basis.
Mm-hmm.
Before you couldn't access that money at all in any way whatsoever. But today, for example, their pension starts, I think, at 65, right? So if you migrated to Australia from the UK, now you can actually, you've got to have a properly accredited fund, but the pension fund in England will release those the funds that you have into an Australian fund on the basis that you can't access that money until you're 65.
Oh, I see.
Right? So they're quite careful that the rules they set up for you in the first place are still adhered to.
They don't want people grabbing all the cash and going off to the races, do they?
Not particularly, no.
Then they have to give them a pension when they're starving.
Yeah, that's always been one of the things when they talk about pension rules and so on, that people retire and deliberately go out and blow all their superannuation so they can get the age pension.
Mm.
Nothing could be further from the truth in our 20 or 30 years' experience.
Mm-hmm.
People are even more conservative than ever when they retire because they realise they have to rely on those funds. And people are very, very reluctant to see those funds run down so that they haven't got a decent amount.
What's the most common mistake people make? The people who've come for advice and they say, oh, I didn't know that. If only I'd known years ago, I could have saved so much money.
And see, think people withdrawing super just because they can.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got an investment in super and all of a sudden you're allowed to withdraw it, they'll take it out of super and put it into their own name.
Into the bank or whatever.
Yeah. Whereas that investment in their own name, they may start paying tax on that money and you know, they could have done the same thing within the super structure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah, not putting away so surplus income, just letting that go to the bank instead of starting to put it into superannuation, you know, certainly by your mid-50s, starting to focus on that would be a common one. Of course, by the time you finish work, it's a little bit too little, you know, too little, too late to start changing that.
Mm-hmm. 131873 is our number. We'll be back with more in a moment.
One day can make all the difference. Hi, I'm Dr. Daniel Adamo from the Sydney Implant Institute. Our experience means that we get it right. Every day, loose, decayed and painful teeth are replaced by a beautiful, confident smile in just one day. Loose dentures are consigned to the rubbish bin and replaced by strong teeth that you can be proud of. Make the change to your health and well-being. Call the Sydney Implant Institute on 9247 8961 or visit sydneyimplantinstitute.com.au.
This is Mick, happy as Larry, because he invested in the US property market through Real Estate Prosperity. Attend a free live two-hour seminar coming to Sydney and we'll teach you how to get access to US property at huge discounts. Plus, you'll learn how to finance and create instant cash flow and receive a free special report just for attending. Register now at wealthinusrealestate.com.au. You've never seen a property opportunity like this before.
A word from the wise at
Winston with a Y.
Roller blinds. There's plenty of reasons why roller blinds are right for your home, but my favourite is right here in my hand, the remote control. No more hoisting up blinds one by one for you. Now you can control the amount of light and privacy you want at the press of a button, and you'll be impressed at how affordable it is. For more advice on the right window coverings for your home, have a word with the wise at
winstonwithay.com.au.
Sydney's best nighttime radio. Brian Wilshire on 2GB 873.
We would have time to take at least one more call if you have any questions about your retirement, planning for retirement, investments, pensions, all that sort of thing. And if you really want to turn your financial dreams into reality, you have to take action. And the first step is to get some financial knowledge, and that's where IT Financial Services come in. They work with you, taking you through the steps that you need to get where you want to go, whether you want to invest or consolidate debt or manage your own super. That's when IT Financial Services can help you. Their advisors know all the ins and outs. They've helped thousands of people meet their financial goals over the years. So what are you waiting for? Make a note of their number. Call them first thing when the businesses open up about 9 o'clock this morning on 9258-7500, 9258-7500. In the meantime, you could go to their website. You can visit that any time at all, of course, itfs.com.au. That stands for IT Financial Services, our sponsors, itfs.com.au. Good morning, James. Yes, James.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
That's good. So I've got one investment property in a self-managed super fund,
mm-hmm.
and the other one outside of the super fund.
Yeah.
And I was thinking for tax purposes, how do I transfer the property outside of the super fund into the super fund?
A short answer is that you can't, unless it's a business, an active business property.
No, just a normal residential.
Yeah, so that would breach the related party rule. You can't acquire an asset from a related party. So once you own the property in your own name or joint names or whatever it may be, you
yeah.
can't actually, you can't buy the property from yourself using funds in the account, and you can't transfer it into the self-managed super fund. So unfortunately, the only way to have property, unless it's a business property in super, is to actually purchase yeah. it in the name of the fund to begin with.
So I can't sell it to the super
no,
fund?
No, you can't acquire property from a related party.
One of the difficulties, of course, James, is that you could sell that property and then buy another property, but by the time you pay stamp duty and agents and everything else, it becomes a very expensive exercise.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah,
I heard there's a lot of tax benefits.
Yeah, there definitely is.
In super fund with property.
Yeah, and if you've got one property in the super fund going forward through the years, you'll certainly notice that. That benefit of the property in the super fund versus the one outside. But unfortunately, once it's in your own name, you can't move that specific property in.
Move it. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Got you.
All right.
Thanks a lot, James.
Yeah. Thanks for your help.
Okay, James. Sorry we didn't have better news for you.
Thanks, James. And thanks to Ian and Carly. Hasn't that time gone quickly?
My word.
Good heavens. We've only scratched the surface. There are a few things, no doubt, that we were supposed to mention. What to do if you think you may have a share of the Australia's $18 billion lost super.
$18
billion. Is that sitting in a vault somewhere, or is someone actually playing with it? Or?
The ATO is slowly taking it over, but you can get it back. So, we might talk about that next week.
All right. All that and more. Same time, same station next week. Good to see you both.
You too.
Have a great week.
Thank you.